Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Amy Parham, a former contestant on NBC's The Biggest Loser and the author of a new book, 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl. Stick around, and if you're lucky and work real hard, maybe less will stick to you.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of reformed chubby chasers in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Next Tuesday.
You're going home. For 2 weeks.
Wait till their families see how far they've come.
I still got a long ways to go, but now I can hold my head up high.
I'm getting my dad back.
But what happens when all their hard work is put to the test?
It's my 21st birthday. I deserve a rest, don't I?
This is his life here.
Fight, please. Can you do that for me?
New Biggest Loser Couple, next Tuesday on NBC.
I've made it a policy to almost never comment on a woman's shape, figure, or apparent weight loss, or, God forbid, weight gain. It's a no-win situation. But for two reasons, I'm going to make an exception to that policy today in my interview with Amy Parham. First, it's because she's written a new book called 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, Living with Less of You and More of Life. I figure she opened the door there. And second, because Amy and her husband Phil were guests on Mr. Media last summer when their first book and DVD, The 90 Day Fitness Challenge, were published. Now, I find them to be lovely people with a good sense of humor about their experiences in the weight loss trade and just nice to talk to. So, Amy, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you for having me this morning, Bob.
My pleasure. And I gotta ask you, two books plus a DVD in 6 months. Now, I make my living writing books. Now, people like you doing this makes me look bad. Now, I want you to knock it off. Would you do that for me?
Well, I'm sorry, but we have a third one coming out in September, too, called The Amazing Fitness Adventure for Kids. So that'll make it three in a DVD.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I'm pretending that we're at commercial break. What? What did you say?
Oh, I won't repeat it again. I don't want to upset you this morning.
You can't do three books in a year. See, guys like me who get paid for doing that kind of thing, you make us look bad. It must come to an end.
Okay, well, after the third one, I'll promise to hold off for a little while.
All right. That's fair, and I appreciate that. You're a good, kind person, just like I said in the introduction. Now, how did you get away with doing a book without your husband? I mean, couldn't he have written, a former, fat guy or something? But
I decided to kick him to the curb this time. No, I think that probably a man might not buy a former fat guy book. I don't know. That was just the feeling of the publisher. But a lot of women out there can relate to the whole idea and concept of being the fat girl. You know, they have the skinny girls that are all around them and they feel like the fat girl. And I don't necessarily think of myself as the skinny girl, but I do want to think of myself as the fit girl. And so that's what this book's all about, is the juxtaposition between the fat girl and the fit girl, and, how to get there. How to get there mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and also, by losing weight.
So you're offering a complete package this time.
Yes, because I think that there are a lot of diet books that'll tell us, eat less or eat this or eat that and exercise this way and move more. And we all know that. Everybody knows that from the time you're, I've been on diets since I was probably 12 years old, and I've done every one of them. But nobody tells you how to deal with the, mental aspects, the things that you do to sabotage yourself, the times when you go, in the refrigerator at night when you're not hungry, because you're wanting to comfort yourself with food. So this book deals with that. And it also deals with some practical, you know, tips on how to lose weight, you know, practically, you know, about eating and exercise and all that. But more importantly, we're dealing with the root of the problem.
And how different is this book from the 90-Day Fitness Challenge?
It's very different. Although in the 90-Day Fitness Challenge, we provide, you know, an inspirational devotion every day where people can read it and be inspired. This is really talking about some personal stories in my life. My parents were divorced when I was 10 years old. They owned a Dairy Queen restaurant. I was practically raised in the back of the
Dairy Queen. You know, when you get the vanilla and then they had the butterscotch topping that would freeze.
Yes. Oh, honey, I've eaten plenty of those.
I love Dairy Queen.
They're delicious. And the Buster bars, that was my thing.
Parfaits and freezes. Oh, my God. Well, that explains everything.
Yeah, right? But I do remember the particular moment when I first consciously used food to comfort myself. And I talk about that in the book. And I talk about how that when my youngest son, Rhett, was diagnosed with autism, that was the thing that I turned to at night after he'd gone to bed. I'd sit on the sofa and eat a gallon of ice cream. So ice cream has been my boyfriend, so to speak. And one of the chapters is Rocky Road is not your boyfriend's name.
I saw that. I like that.
You know, so that's, it's true, you know.
So Phil's middle name is not Rocky Road. No.
Okay. No. Rocky Road was my, not mistress, I guess, but my little affair on the side.
Now, how long has it been that you've kept off? It's 105 pounds, is that right? How long has it been now?
Yeah. Well, we're going on our third year, really. We celebrate our second anniversary, and then in May will be the third year since we started our weight loss journey. So,
you know, it's amazing because, you know, there's people who will write a book or, you know, go and do speaking things after, you know, a year. Oh, look at me. And then, you know, Kirstie Alley, unfortunately, is the best example of that. Or Oprah, you know. But you've kept it off. I mean,
yeah, it's a daily, you know, commitment, really. I mean, this is not about a diet. It's about changing your life and changing your mentalities. And so that's what we've learned is, like, if you think about it as an event, then you're going to fail. But if you think about it as your life, then you're going to succeed because, you know, every day you have to make choices that keep you in that same, you know, frame of mind.
Now, we're going to take a break in a second, and I want to come back and talk about some of the specific lessons. But before we do, there's 10 lessons in the book, and, you know, we always think about things in terms of 10. David Letterman has his top 10 every night. Jay Leno never tried to copying him by having his top 11. 11 just never seems to work. But before we get into the 10 themselves, was there something that you left behind? Was there an 11th that, you know, if 11 was a popular number, that you would have had 11?
No, I think I really put everything into this book. I mean, I really feel like this is my baby, you know. I put my heart and soul into it. I shared a lot of personal stories. Somebody told me that the name of the book should have been 10 Confessions from a Former Fat Girl, because I really share so much about my life and my childhood and my family. And, you know, I'm kind of an open book anyway, but this really, I dug into some personal stuff. And I feel like I've gotten everything out there, and I really hope people
enjoy it. Do you feel a little exposed when you do that? I mean, I work with people all the time telling their stories and the biography, help them write biographies and autobiographies. And I always worry sometimes that, you know, people tell a lot about themselves in these stories and these books, and then they come back and they go, boy, I wish I hadn't done that.
Honey, after you're standing on stage in front of a million people in a sports bra and spandex, there's nothing else that you can do that's worse. So I'm fine.
Well, folks, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview, some of you with TV, with Amy Parham, author of 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, Living with Less of You and More of Life. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams. There's so many things kids have to be good at these days. It's hard to stop and think about how something like learning music can help them in the future. Music helps kids because it's a performing art, and children need to learn to perform well so they can succeed in society. Getting an 85% on a math test is pretty good, but hitting 85% of the right notes during a concert isn't good enough for most music students or their teachers. A special time of practice and preparation goes into the discipline of performing music, and it helps kids develop habits that will allow them to perform better in all areas of their lives. A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
Hi, this is Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears, and you're listening to Mr. Media Radio. Better you than me.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media Radio interview with Amy Parham, author of 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, Living with Less of You and More of Life. Amy, so let's talk about a couple specific lessons. Are there some that deserve special emphasis?
I think there are a couple of them that really people don't talk about that really resonate with me. And one of them is you've got to forgive people. You can't be, you know, free if you don't forgive. And I think that a lot of times I've found, because we, you know, we travel all over the place and do fitness challenges, and we meet people that are, you know, obese and morbidly obese, and they talk to us, and I always ask them their story, and usually they've had some kind of a tragic event that has occurred that has caused them to feel the need to comfort themselves with food. I've had people that their children have died in car accidents, or they've had kids with disabilities, or they've had abusive relationships. I had one lady tell me that her husband committed suicide while her daughter was on the phone with him. I mean, it was like it's just crazy, horrible things that happen to these people. And in those moments, you know, they become bitter and they become angry and they, you know, have what I consider like a root of bitterness in their heart. And it's so important that these people learn how to let go of that bitterness and let go of that anger and forgive so that they can move on. And I talk a lot about that in one of the lessons. Another one is to embrace your uniqueness, because I think a lot of people are so busy comparing themselves to other people that they don't look at the unique things that God has created in them. And, I mean, I'm not probably ever going to be a size zero. I'm probably never going to be, well, I know I'm never going to be, you know, 5'9".
And
I'm never going to be able to probably whip up a gourmet meal, because that's just not my thing, you know. But I do have talents and abilities and gifts that God's given me. And so I need to embrace those unique qualities and celebrate those unique qualities. And so other women ought to do that as well. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else and start looking at the things that you have that are unique and special, because that'll help you to appreciate who you are and not feel under so much pressure to be somebody else and change and always be condemning yourself. So those are two of the lessons that I feel like are really, really important.
Is Phil still there in the background?
Let me see. He may be in the kitchen eating some breakfast. Philip, are you here? No.
All right. Well, next time he wanders by, let me know. I want to ask him a question.
Okay.
He doesn't have to come on screen if he doesn't want to, but I just got a question for him. So, you know, when I look at the cover of your book, it's a great picture of you, by the way. But
thank you.
So we see the former fat girl. Which girl do you see when you look in the mirror?
It took me a long time to see the fit girl. It really did. And I actually talk about that in the book as well, because, you know, you have to get a new, you know, image of yourself. That's part of the struggle, especially at the end. When I had lost all the weight, I would be considering myself the same person, but I was a different person and people perceived me differently. And so for a long time, it took an adjustment to get used to the new you, new me, I guess I should say. And but now I'm thankful to say that I do see the fit girl when I look in the mirror. We're all critical of ourselves at times, you know. I mean, everybody, that's human nature. I haven't come to some other plane of existence where I feel like I'm perfect or anything by any means, but I do feel fit. I feel healthy. I feel good in my own skin. So that's who I see now. But it did take time, and it will take time for all these women out here that are going through the process.
Yeah, I wondered about that, because as I was looking through the book, I was thinking, you know, I used to tell people I'd look in the mirror and see that 16-year-old kid smiling back at me, you know, on top of the world. And I don't see the 16-year-old kid anymore. I tend to see, you know, someone who's, you know, now I'm 50, but I tend to see somebody maybe 35 to 40, a little more realistic, a little more aware of what's going on. But, you know, I keep looking back hoping that 16-year-old kid will be looking back in the mirror just on occasion, you know. So I got to wondering, I thought, well, you know, who do you see? Because, you know.
Right. Well, I know, like, for example, like when Philip and I got married, you know, it's like for years and years I saw him as that same college kid that I met for the first time. Because you see yourself through the eyes of your mind. I mean, you see people through the eyes of experience or whatever. And so when I lost the weight, it's like I saw myself as the fat friend that couldn't go shopping with the skinny friends because she couldn't fit in the clothes or whatever, and that always made excuses, always had escape routes as to if we went to the mall, I'd direct everybody to the shoe department because I could wear the shoes, you know? So I know what you're talking about.
Now, let's put today in context so as we when we look back on this in this interview, we know exactly what was going on. Are you in South Carolina or North Carolina?
South.
And the fireplace is behind you. It's a beautiful fireplace. Tell folks what's going on outside those windows, though.
Well, we got snowed in a few days ago, and our kids have been out of school for a week now and are going to be out of school tomorrow because it's a teacher work day, and then Monday for Martin Luther King. So we've been all huddled up cozy in the house, and you know what happens when you're huddled up cozy in the house? You want to eat brownies and junk food, so we have had one day of making brownies, I must admit. I will confess, I cannot tell a lie, we did have brownies.
Well, I mean, I wanted to ask you, and then we'll go to the break in a second, but I mean, as the daughter of a former, maybe a current Dairy Queen owner, are they still in the business?
No,
okay.
Or a former.
I mean, you know, how do you, obviously you develop a taste for that stuff, I know I did, and my parents didn't own a Dairy Queen. How do you get some balance back in your life after you lose the weight and some time has passed? You know, where you say to yourself, you know, I could have 6 ounces of Dairy Queen, or I can have a brownie or two, and tomorrow I'm not going to fall off the wagon. How do you do that?
Well, actually, my son Rhett's going to come join us in his Batman costume.
Oh. Hey, Rhett.
Say hello.
How
hello.
You doing?
What are you calling on the laptop on iTunes?
he's autistic, and we're wearing Batman.
Oh, no problem.
What Daddy's doing in there? Can you go see what Daddy's doing?
I want McDonald's for lunch.
He wants McDonald's for lunch.
Bit of a challenge, I would think, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go see
hey,
Rhett,
enjoy the snow.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to get, because at first you're in an extreme mindset where I could never touch a brownie for the rest of my life, you know, and you really kind of have to go there mentally in order to get to a certain place. And then I always say, like, you know, when a car is out of line, it'll go to one side of the
that's
door. If it gets in line, it goes back
Mom,
to the
that's
other.
Gone.
Okay. Rhett, can you go watch YouTube?
No. I want to stay here.
We may have a visitor sitting beside
okay.
us. But, you know, eventually you come to the point where you realize, you know, hey, I can have a little bit as long as it's in my calories, you know, as long as I'm not going overboard and just eating nonstop. And eating for the reasons of just, you know, comforting myself.
I understand. It's tough, though, I imagine, even so.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you have to just find that balance.
All right. Well, hey, Rhett, why don't we take a quick break? We were going to do that anyhow. And
on your laptop.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media Radio interview with Amy Parham, author of 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, Living with Less of You and More of Life. And we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Charles,
Hillary,
and Dave,
and we are
Lady Annabelle. Hurricane season is here. The American Red Cross can help you prepare before disaster strikes.
There are a few simple things you can do. Build a disaster supplies kit with water, food, first aid kit, and a battery-powered radio. Make a family communication plan and stay informed about what's going on around you.
To learn more about how you can be prepared this hurricane season, contact your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org today.
This is Rhonda Shear, and it looks like I'm going to be up all night modeling my lingerie line for Mr. Media. Again!
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media Radio interview with Amy Parham, author of 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, Living with Less of You and More of Life. And Amy, I got to tell you, I had asked you before if in a previous segment if your husband Phil, who was the loser with you, if he was nearby, and that's because as you were talking during the second segment, I was just so overtaken. The words are great, but listening to the way you talk, I love the way you talk. And I was thinking, man, did I err by maybe I didn't go far enough into the South. I married a girl from Virginia. I think I should have held out and gone for South Carolina, because I just love listening to you talk. You could be reading the dictionary, my dear, and I'd be happy.
Oh, goodness. You're funny.
Oh, that's why I wanted to talk to Phil. I wanted to find out if that's.
Well, he just walked back in. Look at him walking back in the door. So, Bob wanted to ask you a question. I think a second.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you directly, so it wouldn't seem like I was flirting with your wife.
Sure.
But I was just telling her, hey Phil, hey folks, this is Phil.
Hey guys.
Amy's husband. You know him from the biggest Loser as well. Another big weight loss guy. I was just saying that in the last segment, I was listening to your wife talk, and of course the words were very important, but I just love listening to her talk, just that voice. And I wanted to ask you, because I didn't want to seem like I was flirting with your wife, but, I mean, do you love the sound of that voice, or do you, you know?
I've loved it for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
I love her voice. I love her laugh.
There you go.
About her. And I think America would, too, and I want to put a plug in here, Bob. Listen to this. There's some kind of a thing out on the web about, isn't it on ABC.com?
Yes. He's trying to get me nominated for Dancing with the Stars, but I'm telling you, I can't dance.
Wouldn't that be great? She can't dance, but wouldn't that be cool? She's actually, you could learn.
I guess I could learn.
Then you might have a
I think I'd be
with one of those.
I think I'd be
dancer guys.
Now that would be the plus, the dancer guys. They're all hot. Now,
oh, great, great. You're going to regret this one, Phil. I
think worse than Kate Goslin, I assure you.
No, you wouldn't be worse than Kate. She's horrible.
Oh, my.
Well, I didn't hear.
I was going to say, you couldn't be worse than, Kate, or, Crystal Palin got a little better as she went along, but most people don't think she got as far as she did based on her dance, so,
Exactly. But wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, how bizarre is that our, maybe we get 3 votes? I don't know, but
well, a lot of Biggest Loser girls have been getting votes on ABC.com.
But I mean, just the thought that you're nominated.
There's lots of ones that would really be cute on that show, I think.
How
I'd love
cool
to see a
that?
Biggest Loser girl get on there. Not me necessarily, but a Biggest Loser girl.
That would be great. Now, would ABC, bring an NBC star over? I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, a couple years later, maybe I'm thinking she would be good. She would be good.
You always think that because you're my husband.
Well, since you're both here, let me ask you this. It's been about 6 months since we spoke together, and you've got that much more time away from Biggest Loser under your shortened Titan belt. has your view of the show and that experience, has it changed any in that time? Has it evolved?
It was an extremely hard experience, but I tell you, I'll never view it as anything more than a blessing. I mean, of course it was, there's difficult things that happen when you get on a reality show. I mean, your life changes in some weird ways, but I will never think of it as anything less than a blessing because it's really changed our lives. It's helped us in so many ways. We've gotten opportunities for our kids as a result of the show. A company called Learning RX gave our son free brain training therapy, and it gave him the ability to be able to read and do math and go into a regular class this year for the first time. And so I'm not going to ever complain about the disclosure.
I think at
amazing.
First you feel almost a little used when you get, if you understand what I mean, because you're a commodity. And
you're exploited in the
world.
You're
exploited a little bit. But then when you get past it, you go, oh, my gosh, what would my life be like
if I had not had
this kind of an experience? And then we, like you said, we just kind of wanted to take it that much further and help other people, because there's so many people who can't get on the show. I mean, we go to these casting calls with 1,000 people who
standing in line for
some
hours.
Some of them are 24 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like trying to get tickets to a rock concert.
We always say we won
something.
The fat person lottery.
Yeah, exactly. And we can relate to people so much. And then, they just really can't get close to touch Bob and Jillian, and almost on some levels we can relate to people more because they were never really heavy like we were, so I mean, looking back 2 years later, it's a blessing, but you go through mixed emotions through the whole process.
Well, you guys have found, I mean, if we look at it and say that, to a degree, that NBC, Biggest Loser, exploits the people who go on there. You guys have turned the tables on that. I mean, you've created this whole other career, this industry of sorts. And,
right.
You seemed, I mean, you know, when we met,
in a way, that's right. Yeah.
You seemed very happy. Look at the two of you.
Yeah. We are.
We've gone from happiness, sadness, depression, back to happiness again, because you really, part of what I think Amy talks about in her book is you kind of rediscover yourself. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are as a thin person. You have to go through the journey and the process, and it's not easy.
And people, that's another thing I talk about in the book, is that people think, well, once I lose all this weight, my life is going to be perfect. But there is a process to go through to get to that perfect state where we're starting to experience really, you know, true happiness right now. There was a time, a valley period that you go through where you're readjusting. And so, you know, that's what Philip's trying to say is that,
It was tough on our marriage because we had been a certain way for 20 years.
And it had enabled each other too, you know, in that, to be towards being the fat person. So it's an adjustment. With anything that's worthwhile, though, there's a little pain. You know, I always say, you know, the President of the United States, it's not easy campaigning in 5,000 cities, you know, to become that. It's not easy to go through childbirth to have a child. But, you know, all these things are worthwhile in the end.
Well, and you know, Amy, you need to know this, and I'm assuming Phil will back me up here. It's not when you lose all the weight that your life becomes immediately happy. It's when you lose all the hair.
Well, you can't. I'm not shaving my head. That's
if you'll remember from the show, I went, I was cul-de-sac, and then I was completely bald after the end because I thought, hey, go all the way.
Don't do anything halfway. I hear you.
Don't do anything halfway.
You. All right, so you have one more book coming out. Is that the two of you, or is that just you, Amy, or what is that?
That's the two of us again. We're back together as a team doing a book for kids. And you know, it's really kind of the first 5 chapters are written to the parents to kind of admonish them that they need to take charge of their kids' health. And then the daily devotions, are directed to the children so that, like, the parents could sit around the table and read one of those every day around the dinner table. And they're written in kid language, I guess. Just
or a kid say. From, like, say, 3 to 13.
3 to 13.
Could actually read it, you know, somebody first grade to 8, maybe. And understand it. We tried to make it like little lessons for kids on a daily basis, and we're still working on the title. It's kind of like The Amazing Fitness Adventure kind of a deal, and 90 little lessons for kids, and it's going to be fun. We're working with a cartoonist and, you know, illustrators and stuff to really get the book cover and the title. So it's going to be completely different. We want everything we do to be different. And so we're excited about that. And the biggest thing we've been working on lately, I guess Amy told you, was our website, PhilAmyFitness.com, the new community. And
we have an online community that people can join, and we have tips and recipes and meal plans.
Video blogs.
And a meal plan.
And, boy, that's a lot of work. But, I mean, that's going to be our future because that's where people are going. They want to be able to get grab their iPhone and open it up and watch a little video on how to do something. And that's kind of how people, like what we're doing here on Skype, you know, that's the whole, we do that once a week with people. And that's kind of where things are going with conference calls and,
and they can get all our products
really cool.
And everything there. So,
really
and by the way, if anybody wants an autographed copy of my book for a short time, if they go to PhilAndAmyFitness.com and order it on there, I'll ship them out an autographed copy.
And
so,
I'll tell you what, if you give the URL one more time, here's what I'm going to do. Give the URL one more time, and I'm going to magically make it appear at the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It is PhilAndAmyFitness.com, and the "and" is written out, so PhilAndAmyFitness.com.
So, folks, now you know where you can get it, and you can also get an unautographed copy right now at MrMedia.com at a great price, so think about that.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see. We covered the book. We covered the marriage. I flirted with your wife a little bit. I think we've got it all covered.
I'm going to magically disappear. Because this is
Amy Parham and good old what's his name. Thank you so much for being with us here on Mr. Media again.
Thank you. Have a great day down there in Florida where it's warmer.
We'll try. You guys take care. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye. For more original interviews with your favorite reality TV stars, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.